for just a moment, I'd like everyone to just stop and be still and think about the word wilderness. And when you hear the word wilderness, what sort of images come to you? So when you hear wilderness, what are some of the images you see? Anyone?
A forest?
Wild animals?
Alaska?
Being lost?
No people?
Peace and quiet? The office? Sometimes the school? So, you know, the idea of wilderness brings up all sorts of images, and, you know, that's the wonderful thing about words. One of the things, if you haven't figured out about me by now, I really do love words, and I blame my mother for it. You know, this is a person who read multiple dictionaries just because she liked reading dictionaries, and I'm used to love, when I was an undergraduate, I was studying literature and realizing that how words have a lot, take on a life of their own, and they change, and so it was always fun for me to be reading a piece of literature, say, maybe even from 200 years ago, and hitting the Oxford English Dictionary, or the OED, as we called it, and that was in the days, those of you, you know, who remember back before we had computers, where the OED took up shelves. It was multi-volume, and then every year you'd get that extra volume that would come out with new words. And I said I loved words, and realizing as I've gotten older that how when people hear certain things, how it means can take on so many other meanings. Now, I've heard just with the idea of wilderness, you know, sometimes people talk about the place, and other people talked about a feeling. For some people, when you hear the word wilderness, there's something scary there. And other people, like Lewis here, talks about it being peaceful. While others see it as a place of opportunity. Now, throughout Scripture, we hear about Jesus going off to deserted places once in a while, especially when he's been stressed out working with a lot of people. You know, just to pray, to meditate, to get, you know, I guess to find center again. And today, we hear about, you know, this is to me again that remarkable thing about Mark is going back to words, where I had a philosophy professor who would always tell you when you went to write a paper, only use the words you mean and no others. But then he'd turn around and, you know, assign a 25-page paper. But you know, we see with Mark is this urgency, and in six verses, we're still in the first chapter. In six verses, he talks about, you know, John, Jesus coming and being baptized, the Holy Spirit coming upon Christ, and the voice of God telling him, "You are my beloved Son," and then the Holy Spirit driving Jesus out into the wilderness, where he's tempted by the devil and then cared for by angels and animals. And then he returns when he hears about John's arrest to proclaim the good news. And as we hear here, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." 15 verses into the whole book of Mark, and he's told us exactly why Jesus came. There's no guessing here. Jesus came to share about the good news. But we also have this time in the wilderness before he goes to do it, this time of contemplation, of fasting, of building up his relationship with God. And you think about it, it makes a lot of sense, because here, for as far as we know about the life of Jesus, he's probably leaving what seems to be normal life and going on you know, this three-year journey throughout, you know, Israel and the area around the Jordan to, you know, back and forth to Samaria, and he goes into finally Jerusalem to his death. And Jesus is taking this time. Well, actually, Jesus isn't just taking the time. We hear that the Holy Spirit drives Jesus. And it wasn't like the Holy Spirit led Jesus to the wilderness. In Mark, we hear that the Holy Spirit drove him out there. That basically God forces Jesus to go out into the wilderness and take this time to prepare himself. Now, we are at the very beginning of Lent. This last Wednesday, with the imposition of ashes, the praying of the Litany of the Penitents, as well as the sharing of the Eucharist, we began our 40-day Lenten journey with Christ. We now begin our own time in the wilderness. Now, as I shared a little bit Wednesday, these 40 days, this time of letting go of things, you know, of focusing more on prayer, taking more time out to read the Holy Scripture, on meditating, this time in which we practice some self-denial, you know, for some of us this will mean fasting, and for us each fasting will mean something a little different. This isn't so much a time of punishment as it is a time in which we clear away all those distractions that get in the way of our relationship with God, as well as kind of crowd mind and maybe prevents us to think about how it is that the Spirit is calling each one of us to go out and to proclaim the good news, to talk about the kingdom of heaven, to share the good news with others. During these next few weeks, I encourage you through prayer, fasting, whatever it takes you to, I guess, unplug a little bit, to get away from the busyness of the world, to get away from distractions, and to take that honest look inside your heart. Sometimes the biggest wilderness is within us. Sometimes the scariest place to go is within our own hearts. But this is the time in which to do it and to realize that you don't go on this journey by yourself, that we are taking this journey with Christ. And notice his words, we are taking this journey with Christ, that we are going this together. Yes, for each of us, they'll be very individual, but we are all part of the body of Christ. We are all part of a community called the church. And we're here to help and guide and to listen, to encourage one another, to share our own experience. You know, sometimes one of the best things you can hear from another person is, yeah, I had trouble with that myself. Or to hear about, share your own fears, because sometimes we get this thought that because I'm supposed to be this, you know, this pious Christian type, that I'm not supposed to have any misgivings or any fear. Well, that's not a lack of faith. That's usually going into something really blind. Faith is faith is an ongoing conversation, not only with God, but with ourselves. So my sisters and brothers, I really encourage you to use this time not only to rebuild your relationship with God, but with one another, to help, to share, to make sure that your neighbor isn't going it alone. To begin this 40-day journey and to realize that even if it is scary at times, God is always with us.